Today we're going to Be'ezras Hashem start the eighth parak of Maseches Brachos, and this parak, as the first words of the parak indicate, is a list of the Dvarim Shabein Beishamayu Beisil Besu'uda, the matters with which Beishamayu Beisil disagree when it comes to halachos of a Su'uda. So the entire parak is going to be on that topic, but we're going to do only the first two Mishnayos today, as is our custom. So says the Mishnah Aleph. The following are the differences of opinion between Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel when it comes to halachos of Su'uda. Beis Shammai omer mevarich al yom v'achar kach mevarich al yayin. So first, in Mishnah Aleph, all we talk about is the order of Kiddush. We're not talking about like Shabbos Day Kiddush. Shabbos Day Kiddush doesn't have a bracha on the yom. Shabbos Day Kiddush is just a bar priyagafen. In fact, the Gemara in the 10th parak of Pesachim says that what we call Shabbos Day Kiddush is Kiddusha Rabbah. And the Gemara says that one of the Amoraim wasn't sure what Kiddusha Rabbah was. So when he was asked to recite Kiddusha Rabbah, he figured, whatever it is, it's got to start with the Baruch Piyagafen. So he said Baruch Piyagafen, and then he saw that a certain elderly gentleman was already leaning down to drink from his coast, and he realized, oh, that must be the entirety of Kiddusha Rabbah. It's just the Baruch Piyagafen. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about like the Friday night Kiddush, or the Yom Tov night Kiddush. So you're going to think, well, wait a second, the Friday night Kiddush has a whole paragraph before we say a bracha, before we say Baruch Piyagafen. Yeah, but that whole paragraph is not a bracha. Those are just some cheerful psukim that we say about Shabbos and the value of Shabbos, but the real text of the Kiddush follows the Baruch Piyagafen. It's the bracha that we say after the Baruch Piyagafen. So Beis Shammai says, no, you should say that bracha that we say at the end of Kiddush before the Baruch Piyagafen. The Baruch Piyagafen should be the last thing you say at Kiddush. Ubeis Hillel omrim mevarich al hayayin v'achar kach mevarich al hayom. And Beis Hillel says, the way we do it, that you should say the Baruch Piyagafen followed by the bracha of Kiddush Hayom. Now, what's the svara for each one? So the Rav explains the svara for the Beis Shammai to make the bracha on the Yom first and then the Yayin is because Shetchila Kiddush Hayom v'achar kach ba'ayin al ha'shulchan b'shvil Hayom, that the day, the holiness of the day started and then they brought wine to the table because it's already a holy day. So just like the holiness of the day arrived first, the bracha on the holiness of the day should come before the bracha on the wine. Whereas Beis Hillel says, no, you mevarich al yayin first. Why? So says the Rav it's not only about yayin. If you're mekadesh al pas, if you use bread for kiddush, you'd be mevarich on the bread first. And the reason is because shahayayin o pas gormim lekiddush hayom. Shemein lo yayin o pas lo yekadesh. If you didn't have wine or bread, you wouldn't be saying kiddush. So it's the wine or bread that causes the kiddush to be said. So since it's what causes the kiddush to be said, that's why it takes precedence. It comes first. The Tosfos Yontif just points out that there's another reason for the sheet of the Beis Hillel why you would say a bracha on wine before you say a bracha on Kiddush, and this is mentioned in the Gemara, and that is in general, whenever you have two things to do, which one comes first? So there's a rule, tadir v'she'enu tadir, tadir kodem, that which is more common comes before that which is less common, and we certainly recite Baruch Piyagafen more commonly than we cite any particular text of Kiddush. So therefore, the wine is always going to come first. It's unclear why the Bar Tanura didn't quote that reason. Both reasons are actually mentioned in the Gemara, but that's the reason that the Tos Yanta fills us in on that reason as well. You should know that the rule of Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem, is not an absolute rule. The very same Gemara, Maseches Zvachim, that talks about Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem, also talks about a different rule, Mekudosh V'Sheinu Mekudosh, Mekudosh Kodem, that if you have two things of two different levels of Kedush, that which is holier comes before that which is less holy. So that's also a rule that we have when it comes to that which comes first. In fact, the Gemara even raises a question, what if you have a Tadir versus a Mekudosh? Which one wins? And the Gemara doesn't come to a clear conclusion about that. But anyway, that's Mishnah Aleph. Now Mishnah Beis starts getting into Inyanim that relate to Tumah. Now we have certain rules when it comes to Tumah that are always true on a Daraisa level, but then we have different rules that the Rabbanan instituted that sort of go against the grain, that sort of seem to break the Daraisa rules. For example, on a Daraisa level, whenever Tumah transfers from one thing to the next, it always goes down a Madrega in Tumah, right? An Avat Tumah will turn something into a Rishon, a Rishon will turn something into a Sheni will turn something into a Shlishi if it is Truma. Not everything can become a Shlishi, and only Truma can become, or Hegdish can become a Shlishi, and a Shlishi can make Hegdish a Revi'i. Only Hegdish can become a Revi'i. But on a Daraisa level, something touches a Rishon, it has to become a Sheni. There's no way it can become a Rishon itself. However, the Rabbanan made certain chumras about liquids. A liquid touches a Rishon, the liquid becomes a Rishon, and it can therefore be metame other foods. Not only that, but even if a liquid touches a Sheni, the liquid becomes a Rishon, which is going backwards. It goes up the ladder, which is so unusual, but that's a din that the Rabbanan made with regard to liquids. The Rabbanan also made a din that a Tame liquid, which is a Rishon, can even be Metame Kli, and make the Kli into a Sheni. Normally on a Daraisa level, Kalim can only become a Rishon. Kalim cannot become a Sheni. A Rishon touches a Kli on a Daraisa level that has no impact on the Kli. But a liquid on a Darabana level has the ability to make a Kli into a Sheni Lutuma. The Rabbanan also said that there's such a thing called Tumas Hayadayim, which is also a great Chiddush Mid Rabbanan. On a Daraisa level, you're either Tamei or you're not. There's no such thing as your hands being Tamei and the rest of your body not being Tamei. But the Rabbanan goes that everybody's hands have a status of a Sheni Lutuma, and therefore you need to do Nitilas Yadayim in order to get rid of that level of Tuma. So Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel talk about what happens if a guy wants to drink wine before eating bread, before eating a meal, whether he's going to have to wash on. So the question is, does he do Netilas Yadayim before he drinks the wine, or does he do Netilas Yadayim after he drinks the wine? So says the Mishnah, Beis Shammai Omrim, Notun Yadayim, V'achar Kach Mozgin Es HaKos. First he does the Netilas Yadayim, and then he pours the kos of wine. Tos Yom Tov points out that it's interesting that we call this idea, this mitzvah, midrabanan, netilas yadayim. After all, when we talk about netilas, a mitzvah that involves netila, it's like al netilas lulav. What does al netilas lulav mean? It means taking a lulav. It means carrying, lifting, taking a lulav. It is v'lakachtem lachem biyom arishon, so we call that netilas lulav. I'm not taking my hands. Why is it called netilas yadayim? So Tos Yom Tov writes that because the you are notel a kos with water for the netilas yadayim, for this mitzvah, and therefore since you are taking something, it's the kos with water, it's called netilas yadayim. He says, when it comes to lekichas lulav, the ikar mitzvah is the lekichas lulav. When it comes to the mayim, the ikar mitzvah is not the lekichas amayim, it's the actual washing of your hands. But we want to highlight, says the Tos Yom Tov, that you're using kli, that kli is critical, and that's why we call it netilas yadayim, to highlight that you're actually taking something in your hand, that you need a kli for netilas yadayim. So again, so Yeshame says, you do the netilas yadayim, and then you take the cup of wine. Why is it that you would do it in that order, according to the Beis Shammai? What's the value of doing the Netilas Yadayim and then taking the cup of wine? Because according to Beis Shammai, you can't drink wine before a meal until you do Netilas Yadayim first, because if you haven't done Netilas Yadayim, your hands are a Sheni. They're going to turn any wine that happens to splash on the side of the cup into a Rishon, because remember, hands can turn a liquid, a Sheni can turn a liquid into a Rishon. It goes up the ladder when we're dealing with liquids. So since the Rabban goes there that hands are automatically Sheni, they'll turn the liquid into a Rishon, and then it's going to turn the, and remember, another chumra about a liquid is that it could turn a kli into a sheni. So the cup is now going to be a sheni. So Bishami says you can't drink from a cup that's a sheni l'tumah. So you're not allowed to use a cup that's tamei from the outside of the cup. So you better do netilas yadayim first to make sure that your hands are never a sheni, so that this whole train shouldn't start, this whole process shouldn't start. But Bishul says no, you could first pour the kos, and then you could do netilas yadayim. Meaning, according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to drink before Netilas Yadayim, because let's say, worst case scenario, what Beis Shammai was concerned about, let's say that happens. There's some wine that spills on the outside of the cup, so your sheni hands turn that wine into a rishon, and that wine that's a rishon in turn turns the cup into a sheni, so now the cup is a sheni l'tumah from the outside. Beis Hillel says, that doesn't bother me. Beis Hillel doesn't think that it's a problem to use a cup that's a sheni l'tumah. You're allowed to use it for the meal. What Beis Hillel is bothered by, what Beis Hillel does not like, is if you did Netilas Yadayim first and then you didn't dry your hands properly, then you know what's going to happen? Then your hands might still be wet when you pour the wine. And then if the cup is tamei on the outside, which it could be, because according to Beis Hillel, he's not bothered by a cup that's tamei from the outside, that cup is going to be metame your hands. Your hands are going to become tummy from the cup. And if your hands become, because your hands are wet, remember a liquid can become tummy from a sheni. So if the cup is a sheni, we'll turn the liquid into a rishon, we'll turn your hands into something that's tummy, to a sheni l'tuma. And the whole point of the Siddayim was that your hands shouldn't be tummy. So Beis Hillel is concerned about that. So that's why Beis Hillel says, I would much rather that your mosaic is a kos, and then notel yadayim afterwards. So that's the machlokas b'sham Beis Hillel. So again, to quickly review, we just learned two simple machlokas today. One is that Beis Shammai holds you say the bracha of Kiddush Hayom followed by Baruch Pri HaGafen, and Beis Hillel says no, the reverse, Baruch Pri HaGafen first and then the Kiddush Hayom, whether it's because of Tadir or whether it's because you're only saying Kiddush because you have wine. And then the second machlokas is Mishnah Beis, whether that Beis Shammai says you do Netilas Yadayim before you pour your kos of wine, and Beis Hillel says no, pour your kos of wine and then do Netilas Yadayim for the bread that you're going to eat. Okay, Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Mishnah Gimel.